Amen.
But he said that you'd be gone by 12. All right, so I'd have an empty church to preach to. Let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 16 this morning. Matthew chapter 16. Now, if I could ask if we could stand out of respect to reading God's Word, when you get to Matthew chapter 16, Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 and 25. Got your Bibles there? Starting in verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Let's have a word of prayer together. Heavenly Father, we are thankful we can come to the church of God. And Lord, we are asking this morning that you might take the word of God and you might pierce our hearts. Give us understanding, we pray. So, Lord, if there be anybody here that is not saved, they come to the knowledge of salvation. And then, Lord, if us who are redeemed and are your child, we might find understanding of how to live this life today. For that, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The title of my message today is 3 G's Every Christian Must Have. 3 G's Every Christian Must Have. As I go to the bookstore, occasionally you find they like to give you 3 easy steps to do this. 3 easy ways to do that. Let me tell you this morning, there is no 3 easy anything when it comes to life. And when it comes to Christianity, we have 3 sets. But listen, they aren't necessarily going to be easy ways to have success. But listen, if you are going to have success, the Lord gives us a formula for success. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8 says, but this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Success is the word. And so, but in this, our Christian life, we find in this passage of Scripture, God gives us 3 G's. Number 1, you must have God to have success. Number 2, you must have a grave to have success. And number 3, you must have guts. God, grave, and guts. Number 1, God. The first thing you must have. You notice in verse 24, it says, and Jesus said unto the disciples, if any man will come after me, to come after the Lord Jesus. You know, the first thing any person in this world needs to have success is God. Amen. If a person does not have God, they are without the supernatural aid. Think of the beauty of the creation, the mountains, the skies, the sun, the stars. Who created all of that? One man got up on the Glasgow Greens and said, I've never seen God. Therefore, he does not exist. Another man got up and he said, after him, I've never seen the sky. I've never seen the green grass that you call it. I've never seen the river that flows nearby. Therefore, they do not exist. See, the second man was born blind. And he said, sir, the reason I don't see those things is because I was born blind physically. And the reason you do not see God is because you were born blind spiritually. It is certain, as is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment, ultimately we all will stand before God. And you see, the danger is there's people that say, I don't believe him, therefore he does not exist. I'm sorry, listen, I plead with you, think about it. When you get there, you will realize it when it is too late. The Lord gives you opportunity now to respond by faith to him. But if you meet him on the day of judgment, it is guaranteed it will be too late. And so God is absolutely necessary for life. I heard a person say, well, I just think there was a big bang and it blew up and it created this universe. Well, that's akin of me taking my watch and taking all the watch parts apart and throwing it up the air and it come down a bull of a watch. Does that happen? No. If I go up in the airplane and take a load of bricks with me, would it come down and form a house? It would not. Listen, something so complex and so miraculous as life is did not come by accident. Every design has a designer, and the designer of this world is God. And if you don't have God, you cannot have success. So the first thing we must have is God. John 15 and verse 5 says, I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Listen, for without me ye can do nothing. And so the first thing we need in our life is God. And you say, how do I need God first in my life? Listen, you need him for salvation. You see, there was a problem. The problem is sin. Every person born in this world, according to John chapter 3 and verse 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says in Romans 3 and verse 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. And so since nobody is holy before God, I remember I was talking to a young man, I was trying to lead him to Christ, and he said, why does God send people to hell? If God loves people, why does he send them to hell? And I said, listen, I turned in our Bibles and I said, hell was not created for people. Did you know that? According to the scriptures, it was created for the devil and his angels. And when man sinned and fell in the garden, God loved man, so he sent the Lord Jesus. God became a man in the person of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. Lived a sinless life, that which you and I could not do. Died in place for your sin, so that if you call on his name, you can be saved. That is the purpose. Since God loved you, he did that so that you wouldn't have to suffer the punishment in hell. And you say, why should I have to go to hell for my sin? I was talking to a fellow I was working with one time. His name was Ozzy. And he says, Ozzy says, I think I just get to heaven and God will say, oh, you're a pretty good guy. I'm going to let you in. And I said, well, Ozzy, I said, what if you went down the bank down here and said, stick them up and rob the bank, and out they came meet you. Red and blue lights come in and take you away to the judge. You stand there before the judge. I said, if he's a good judge, he's going to say, Ozzy, you're a good guy. I'll let you go. I said, is that going to happen? Not if he's a good judge. No, sir. Only people who do that are corrupt judges, right? I think we know enough about that in this nation to know about that. But listen, a good judge is going to say, no, you did wrong. You're going to have to pay for the punishment. Listen, when you sin against a holy God and reject his offer of salvation and forgiveness of sin, there is no other choice but to send you for the punishment in eternity called hell. I've talked to people who don't believe hell is real. Listen. The Word of God is tried and true. It is everlasting. And he has told us. Jesus spoke more about hell than he did about heaven. It is a real place. Place of torment. And the Lord doesn't want any person here to go there. But if you have not been born again by the Spirit of God, if you have not realized you're a sinner and come to the Lord Jesus and told him that you believe that he died and buried and rose again for your sin and call upon his name, you have not been saved. Listen, you can be saved this morning. First thing you need in your life is God. Did you know that Noah had God when everything was against him? He was the only one that believed. Genesis chapter 6, and it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Listen, the whole world died in that flood. But at least he got his family in the ark. Listen, parents. The whole world might die to go to hell, but make sure you get your children under the sound of the gospel and the preaching of the gospel. My mind thinks of Abraham. Everything was against him, but yet he became the friend of God and God blessed him. And since he had God, we had the nation of Israel today. My mind thinks of Daniel, who's taken away captive out of his homeland. He's only about 15 years old, 13 to 15 years old. And there he is alone, and he purposes in the heart he would not defy himself with a portion of the king's meat. He stood and stand for God at a 13-year-old, and God was with him. David, God slew the giant Goliath. God was with David. God was with Paul. First thing you must have is God. Second thing you must have is a grave. Notice it says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. The second thing you must have to be a successful Christian is you must have a grave. You say, Brother Shane, what do you mean? Do you know that after you're saved, the old nature is not eradicated from your body? You still have a desire to do wrong things. It's called the flesh in the Bible. I heard about a young boy who wanted to get a bicycle. He came to his dad and said, Dad, can I have a bicycle? He said, Son, I want to teach you some responsibility first. He says, there is a lawnmower out there, and you can take that lawnmower and sell it, and the money you get for it, you can buy a bicycle. Little boy said, okay, Daddy. Well, the problem was it was wintertime. People weren't buying lawnmowers in the wintertime. And so he finds this preacher who moved in next door, just new to the neighborhood, and says, Preacher, would you like to buy my lawnmower? And the preacher says, Well, son, it's wintertime. I don't really need a lawnmower, but when the spring comes, I will. How much do you want for it? Little boy says, $5. Preacher says, What's wrong with a lawnmower? $5. Little boy said, Well, preacher, my daddy told me if I sold the lawnmower, I could use the money I could get to buy a bicycle, and the bike that I want is $5, so that's the price of my lawnmower, $5. Preacher says, That's a steal, I'll take it. He takes the lawnmower, and the springtime comes. The grass begins to grow. He gets out his lawnmower, and he pulls on the lawnmower, doesn't start. Pulls it again, doesn't start. Pulls a third time, doesn't start. That time he sees a little boy riding by on his bicycle. He says, hey boy, calls him over, and he says, You sold me a bad lawnmower. Little boy said, No, sir, it works just fine. He says, I pulled on it, and it has not started. Little boy says, That's because it's a lose-your-temper lawnmower, preacher. He said, A what? He says, You have to lose your temper first before it'll start. And the preacher said, Well, son, I'm a preacher. I can't remember the last time I lost my temper. Little boy said, Don't worry, preacher. You just keep on pulling and it'll all come back to you again. All right? Hey, no matter how good you think you are, the flesh is still there. That is why you need a grave. You have to put things down. We have desires in them, and we have to deny ourselves things. We have to deny ourselves the things that we want to do. You know, we live in a nation who thrives on doing what they want to do. Everybody is about themselves. We are to be about the Lord's business, not about ourselves. And so instead of us wanting to use all that money to buy this big boat or something like that, maybe we ought to ask God if He has something else for us to do. And someone says, Well, I don't want to ask God because I'm afraid what He's going to say. Listen, if you want to be a successful Christian, you have to have God. Secondly, you have to have a grave. You have to deny yourself. You see, Matthew 9 and verse 9, and Jesus passed from thence and saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom and said to him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. He left and followed Jesus. There was Peter who left the nets and followed Jesus. There was Elisha who was plowing oxen, and Elijah came and placed the mantle upon him, and he took his oxen, he burned them, and he used the meat and ate it, and then followed him. He burned what was left behind him. He didn't want anything to keep him from following the will of God for his life. One of Elliot's closest friends from college days stated, I was there when Jim Elliot died. A bystander who heard that remark protested, reminding him that every one of those present that fateful day were killed, and surely he also would have been included. But he actually been there. No, Elliot's friends continued, you don't understand. Jim Elliot didn't die in the jungle in Ecuador. Jim Elliot died in an altar of prayer. Yeah. I was his roommate at Wheaton College, and I remember the student revival where Jim died to self and found a new life in Christ's commission to missionary service. No wonder it is Jim Elliot who is known for saying this, He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. Have you had a grave? Thirdly and lastly, finally, guts. You say, Brother Shane, what do you mean? Continue reading here, and it says, Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Listen, it's not an easy business. And when you go about doing the work of the Lord, you need to have courage. You need to have guts. Joshua had courage in Deuteronomy 31 verse 6 says, "Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Solomon had this in 1 Chronicles 28 verse 20, and David said to Solomon his son, "Be strong and of good courage to do it. Fear not nor be dismayed, for the Lord my God will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished the work of the house of the service of the Lord." Psalm 27:14, "Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thy heart." I say, wait on the Lord. Listen, you need to have courage. Why? There's opposition out there. Think of the people in the Scripture who had courage. Noah had nobody else to support him. And yet he still built the ark, did he not? Abraham had nobody else support him. His daddy was an idol worshiper. Lot left him. Yet he followed God. Daniel, in the midst of all these people, he still stood strong for the Lord. So did David. All of these people, they had God. They had a grave, a time in their life. They had to die at something, and they had guts. And the most precious example, listen, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He had God, for He was God. Secondly, He had a grave, a literal and a spiritual one for us to follow. He died for your sin and for my sin. And listen, when He was in the garden, He said, praying and sweating, as it were, great drops of blood, the Bible says, "Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine will." That's a grave. And He had the greatest courage on earth to take up that cross, go up Golgotha's hill, and to be put on that cross when He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set Him free. He was God who made this world. He could have destroyed it, but He didn't. Instead, He courageously did the will of God. And listen, that is the answer to how to be a successful Christian this morning. Let's have a word of prayer together. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the clear teaching of the Word of God, and we pray You might impress this upon our hearts, so, Lord, that we might be followers of You. If there be somebody here who is not born again, we pray that they might come to salvation this morning. And Lord, if there be Christians who are still living for themselves, who pray this morning, like Jim Elliot, they might find a grave and die to self. And say, "Lord, whatever You want me to do, that is what I'll do." Well, thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, head bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around. I wonder if you're here this morning, say, "Brother Shane, I know I am saved. There has been a time in my life where I realized I was a sinner, and Jesus was the only way. And I called on the Lord Jesus to be saved." If that's you, and you say, "I know for sure if I were to die today, I would go to heaven." If that's you, just slip up your hand. Testimonies of the praise of God. "Brother Shane, I know for certain I am saved." Yes, keep it up as I look around. Amen. You can put your hands down. Now, I saw some of you weren't able to raise your hand. Let me say thank you for your honesty. You hear this morning, say, "Brother Shane, I am not certain if I were to stand before the Lord that He would read my name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm not certain that heaven is my home, but I am concerned." Listen, we would love to pray with you and show you from the Word of God how you can know for certain. The Bible says these things are written that you might know that you have eternal life. God doesn't want you to doubt or question. He wants you to know for certain. Here this morning, say, "Brother Shane, I'm concerned. I'm not certain I'm saved." Would you slip up your hand? So look on, "Brother Shane, I'm not certain I'm saved. I'm concerned." Anybody like that? So looking around, "I'm not sure I'm saved." All right, I see that hand. Thank you. And I'm looking around, is there anyone else? "Brother Shane, I'm not certain I'm saved." Amen. Now I wonder if you hear and say, "Brother Shane, I'm a Christian. And I realize I need to die to self, and I have not been dying to self. God has spoken to my heart and has made it very clear. I have been living for me, and today I'm going to live for Him. I'm going to take the message of success and have God. I'm going to have a grave, and I'm going to have guts to do the will of God." If that's you, would you slip up your hand? "Brother Shane, God spoke to my heart that way." Heavenly Father, yes, I see a hand. Are there? Yes, there are other hands. Heavenly Father, You saw the hands and know the hearts. We pray You might work in this time of invitation. We thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor.
your head's bowed, eyes are closed, if you're here today and you're not sure you're saved, I'm going to be up front. If you just come up there and meet me and show you, I can know for sure if you died today, you go to heaven. Everyone standing, you're here today and you say, "Preacher, hey, that's me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Why don't you come? Let me show you from the Word of God. Just come on." Here today and you say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved." Boy, that really tugged at my heart. The Holy Spirit really spoke to my heart about that today. I'm not sure I'm saved. If I died today, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. If you're not sure, why don't you come? We have trained folks that would be willing to show you how you know for sure if you died today, you go to heaven. Hey, I was 14 years old. I remember I was sitting clear in the back of a youth rally, 2,000 kids there. And not only that, my mother was sitting next to me. And boy, if that's not tough, I don't know what. And that preacher preached a sermon and he said, "Your daddy may be a deacon. Your mama may be a Sunday school teacher. She may be the president of the Women's Missionary Society of your church, but that's not going to get you saved. What will get you saved is a personal experience of the Lord Jesus Christ, inviting Jesus Christ to forgive your sins and come in your heart." Before that lady could sit on that piano of that great big auditorium, I was coming down to the seat of preacher. And it seemed like the farther I got, the faster I got going, I about ran him over. And he said, "Sir, what are you coming for?" I said, "I'm not sure I'm saved." "Oh," he says, "son, I'm happy for you. Here's a man right here who'll show you. Hey, just like that tonight, why don't you come? You're here, you're not sure you're saved. You're not sure you're on your way to heaven. Why don't you come right now?" Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Are you sure you're saved? Has there been a time in your life that you have made and asked Jesus Christ to forgive your sins and ask Him to come in your heart? Has there been a time in your life that you personally invited Him to be your Savior? If not, why don't you come right now? Why don't you come right now? You may be here today and you say, "Preacher, I've done that, but I have not followed the Lord Jesus Christ in believer's baptism that's down in the water and up out of the water. Have you done that?" Hey, you're late if you haven't. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, "They that gladly received the word," there's about 3,000 were baptized the same day, the Bible says. So if you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior, and you have not followed the Lord Jesus Christ in believer baptism, you're late. So why don't you take care of that today? Our baptistry is ready. We have clothes for you, modest clothes. Why don't you come? You're ordained and say, "Preacher, we've been coming to this church. We want to be part of this church. We want to become members of this church. This is where we believe that God has sent us to serve here." Why don't you come at this time? Again, you're here today and say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I surely know that today." Why don't you come? Why don't you come right now? Day is coming, and it's coming quickly. The Lord's coming back soon. Are you ready for Him? How about a Christian? Is your heart ready for Him? You choosing things above the things of the Lord. You choosing things of the world. Boy, you need to get over that. Give yourself to the Lord. Father, we want to thank You for what You've given to us. We thank You for this one who trusted You today and others' hearts that have been moved. Dear God, I pray You'd speak to our hearts and help us live close to You. Help us, Lord, live righteously. Help us, Lord Jesus, as the Scripture says, to be a real Christian is to visit the fatherless and the widows indeed and living unspotted in the world. Oh, God, help us. Lord, as we think about Bible school tonight, Lord, I pray you'd help us. Maybe re-ready. May we do the things that need to be. Help us to be faithful in it. In Jesus' name, amen.